beginning. We are in the middle of Mishlei. We are in Perikov Beis. Yesterday we learned the Pasuk Chav. Haloi Chasavti L'chosh Shalishim Bim Mo'etzos V'odoah. So we explain the basic two interpretations of this Pasuk is either the word Shalishim means. It means three. It's a play on the word three. That was Rashi. That was the Medrash. I've already prepared Perichov Beis. Perichov Beis Pasik Chof. Perichov Beis Pasik Chof. Hashem is writing it. Shlomo is saying in the name. I mentioned before, not everyone agrees that the words that we're reading now are from Shlomo HaMelech. Some say that this section, the second half of the section, at some point in time when we get to at the end of the Sefer, we'll perhaps come back exactly to these psukim. But some of these words, these psukim, were not necessarily written by Shlomo. They're written by his predecessors, by other Talmidei Chacham, and he incorporated them into Sefer Mishlei, because and that is alluded to. If that alludes to where it says Hat Oznecha on Pasuk Yud Zayin, where Shlomo writes Hat, turn your ears, Ushma Divrei Chachamim V'Libcha Toshis L'Dati. So some want to suggest that in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shlomo is drawing our attention to listen to the following psuk that I'm going to quote, and guess what? They're not mine. There are other people who came before me that said these words. I find them to be of value, and I want to include them in my Sefer and Sefer Mishlei. And these psukim are Pasuk Yud Ches, Ki Nohim, Ki Sishmerim B'Vit Necha, Yikonu, that's all continuation of what Shlomo is coming to advise us. But similarly, Pasuk Chaf is one of the psukim where he's quoting from others. Haloi Kosavti L'cha Sholishim B'Moyitzos V'Odoas. And we learned yesterday the two basic mahalchim. Either the word shalishim means three. It's a play on the word shalosh, and that means Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and the chavivas of the number three. We mentioned yesterday this also may refer to the third parak in Sefer Eicha, where each letter of the Aleph Beis is tripled. It's triplicate. The letters of the Aleph Beis. There's another approach that the word Shalishim is 30, not 3, but it's a play 3 times 10. And that would refer to, as someone, as Ramayevsky mentioned, we refer to this Sefer, and Sefer Mishlei. The Sefer Mishlei has 31 parakim, which is rounded down to the number 30. It's very common in the Torah that we always add one number to a number. How many malchus do we give a person who does this high malchus? It's 39. How many does say in the Torah? 40. How many days do we count until Shavuos? We count 50, but the Torah says 7 times 7. 7 weeks by 7 weeks. So we have this idea of adding one number. So that would here as well. There are 31 parakim in Sefer Mishlei, when really, and he's here referring to Shalishim, which we loosely can translate as 30. Okay, then we have the other interpretation. The word Shalishim comes with Shalishim al Kulo. It means Mechubadim. It means words of nobility, words that are important, that are choshev. Let's see, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, continuing this thing, Lehodiacha Kosht Imre Emes. Now, Kosht is, it's not even clear if this is a Hebrew word. Okay, this word is more of an Aramaic word, and a Lashon of it means Emes. If you look in the Mitzudos David, Kosht. Kosht Imre Emes. Inyan MS, the words of MS, kemo mibshe koshet sela. Koshet sela, words that are eternally honest. So the purpose of studying the words of Torah, Birshmei, what do you say? Kushta? It's the name of a place. Right, Kushta is the name of a place of MS.
Somehow we
will Kosh
name was awesome.
Okay, let's see. Okay, so Leodiacha Kosht Imrei Emes, to make known to you the veracity, the it's a play on the words Kosht Imrei Emes, the intensity of truth. Lehashiv Amorim Emes Lesholchecha, and by studying Torah you will be able to respond. That's a very important thing, to have a proper response to people that speak words of falsehood. Today we live in a world of kula sheker, and there are many people out there that are promoting things that are 100% false, and unfortunately we see that we don't have enough people out there among us that have the ability... But we don't have enough people among us that have the ability to properly respond and silence the falsehood. So here it's telling us that, yeah.
Isn't there a philosophy also of saying when people, others speak falsehood, you have a choice of answering them or totally ignoring them?
It depends. Sometimes it's better.
Sometimes they're looking for responses.
It all depends. You cannot generalize. Sometimes it is ideal to be quiet, give a response. Gives legitimacy to the ridiculous claim, but sometimes a response is necessary. And more often than not, in the world that we live in, people are so weak-minded. If you don't present the facts, people are brainwashed. They these horrible lies. Look what's going on in the world with Eretz Yisrael. The world, you ask the average non-Jew, they'll tell you that Israel is the aggressor, they're the occupiers, and they do all these terrible things. It's a world of sheker. And we don't have, it is vital to properly respond with words of evidence. This is a very, how often do you have in Tanakh such a pasuk, such a chazal, such an expression where it says, L'hashiv amorim emes l'shol chechel. L'shol chechel doesn't over here mean the one that sent you. It means the person that is speaking to you, the one that is challenging you. You should be able to respond with words of emes and put them in their place. Let's say the mitzvot, the pasuk chavam. All of this only comes to what? It comes when the person studies the words. Kosavti l'choshol ishim b'mo'etzos v'odoas. According to Lord, according to Rashi, if a person studies inside out the words of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. When you have the big picture, all three together, then the person has the koyach to respond with words of MS. Let's look at the Mitzvah. The Mitzvah Pasuk Chav Aleph. The Pasuk says, "La'adiacha Ratzolay Mar." But Divrei HaTorah Hahi Asuyehem La'adiacha. The study of the words of this of Torah will help you. Will assist you to make it known to you. Amitas Imrei MS. To know the truth, the absolute truth. La'das La'havdu Ben MS Ben Hasheker. To differentiate between MS and Sheker. V'lo'itira Imked Od Pen Yadichucha. You'll no longer be afraid that you'll be pushed away and making mistakes. You don't have to be afraid. A person is always nervous. Maybe I won't. I'm not correct. I don't know what I'm saying. But if a person will study the words of Torah, he can be confident that he will not make mistakes. Kisucha lohoshiv imrei emes. You'll be able to respond with words of emes. Utshuva noitzeches. A victorious response. Le Hamat im umigarshim osach miderech emes, from those people that cause you to err and drive you away from the derech emes. Only through being a Talmud Chacham will you be able to properly respond to words of apikarsim and words of sheker. Okay, let's go take a look over here. In Rashi, Rashi says, "La'adicha kosht." What is kosht? Kosht is shalishim kosafti l'cha. I've written to you words in triplicate, Torah Nevim Uksuvim, Kidei Shetavin Mitoicham, that you should understand through the words of Torah, Kosht Imrei Emes, the absolute truth, L'hashiv Amorim Emes, to properly reply with words, L'sholchecha. So Rashi here is very clear. The Mitzvah said the same thing, but he didn't say it so explicitly. L'sha'alcha hoira, to people that ask you hoira decisions. Someone that comes to ask you a question. They come to ask you a she'ela, a psak halacha. I don't know the answer. This is one of the things that Chazal tell us, and during the time of Mashiach, there's not going to be halacha berura b'makom echad. People will come and ask shailos, and no one will have the answer to difficult questions. Can we say that about our generation? I don't know if you can say that about our generation. There are no answers. Answered. I'm talking about new questions, new situations. Baruch Hashem, there are different opinions. It's not clear. There are different opinions. But there are a lot. There are Baruch Hashem. There are a lot of experts. There are a lot of specialties today. On the other hand, you'll tell me that you don't have people like Rav Moshe. You don't have people like you don't have Paiske Hadar. So they're mildness and chesronus, but this is something which is essential. Okay, let's see. Okay, so this is the Rashi, and this is okay. Then the Medrash. Okay, there is just one other Medrash that I left out from yesterday, in the pasuk of Bimmo Eitzos Vodas. The word Bimmo Eitzos, according to the Medrash Mishnah here on this pasuk, is Nutrikin. It is a shortened form of Bom Eitzos. Bom Eitzos. In the words of Torah, you will find counsel. You will find assistance to make decisions. So let's go to pasuk. I just feel so hashkach. I was learning with someone today, a little diktuk, and we're talking about the difference between emes and sheker. Here we have Rash, it talks about emes and sheker. The el milara. The word sheker, there's a general rule in diktuk that when you have a double segel, two letters next to each other, each one has a segel, like the word sheker. So MS is not a good example. The one low moment. There is when the two letters are next to each other. So the emphasis is on the first. Mila el sheker. The correct pronunciation is sheker, not sheker. So one would argue, what about the word MS? There are two segels next to each other. We say every day in davening Hashem Elokeichem. We append the word MS, the Yatsiv. So is it MS? It's not a real segel. It's a chataf segel, which means a little line on the right side, on the left side of the segel, which means that you should swallow it. Don't give that aleph emphasis. It's a shortened segel. So that's why it's not MS, but it's MS. There's a famous expression. MS is sheker. But sheker is MS. You got that one more time. MS, I said it the wrong way. I put the emphasis on the owl. So MS is sheker. That's like it in. But sheker is MS. Okay, that's a famous expression they teach you in diktuk school. Now, this person I was learning with, he told me the following homiletic interpretation. Why is it so? Why is it so that when you say sheker, it's mila el, and ms, it's mila ra? So he summarized it: good things come to those who wait. Sheker, you learn in the world of sheker. You read an article; it says. This is what it says. So you take it at face value. Immediately, sheker.
And it makes the front page.
Sheker has the emphasis on the first syllable because that's the essence of sheker. The essence of sheker is it presents itself well immediately. But when
first impression.
Usually first impressions are sheker. That's the emphasis on the shin. But MS, you want to know the truth, you gotta dig deep. And it may take years, decades, centuries until you reach the truth finally comes out. The emphasis, the oomph, the emphasis is revealed. And everyone knows the famous Chazal that MS, the letters are next to our distance. So the first letter of the Aleph Beis, right. The middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and the last letter, because it's solid, it's through and through, it goes from beginning of time to the end of time. Sheker, the letters are next to each other, which means they have no kiyum. It's a click, and easy come, easy go. But this is another very powerful idea. And the laws of diktuk, there's a homiletic insight into the difference between Sheker and MS. Something to remember, and here it's telling you over here that Torah is Kula MS. Torah is Kula MS, Moish MS, Vetorasei MS. We sing this on Simchas Torah. This comes from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin with Korach. Korach's people, they tried to challenge the Amitos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what was their punishment? Every 30 days they came out of Gehenna to declare to the world, Moshe Vetorasei MS, the Hain, and they, the Bnei Korach Abadoin, they're liars. They're liars. Some of the Darshanim say when it says they're liars, it doesn't mean that it's not part of their statement. The Gemara is speaking. They come out of their grave and they say, Moshe v'Torah say emes. And the Gemara comments, they don't really mean it.
They're liars. Because if they really meant it, they would no longer be in Gehenna. They wouldn't be in Gehenna anymore.
They're not telling the truth.
They wouldn't be in Gehenna anymore. Hashem would have Rachmanis on them. They would be out of Gehenna. So the fact that they have to still come out every 30 days and say Moshev Trosehemes, the Gemara says, they're liars. Lying means you're not sincere. Here we have this Pasuk, Lo'diacha Koisht Imrei Emes. It's a very powerful expression because the Pasuk here, normally Emes doesn't need any emphasis. Emes stands on its own. Yet here in this Pasuk, we're trying to embellish the Emes. I don't know what this means. There must be some much deeper insight into this expression. The Koisht Imrei Emes. Doesn't Koisht also mean beauty? Keshot Atzlucha. Adornment. Keshot atzcha v'yachakach keshot acheinim. Before you can beautify someone else, first beautify yourself. Look in the mirror. Don't give mussar to someone until you take the mussar to heart and you perfect yourself. So I believe there's more than just the Rashi.
It doesn't mean beauty.
Correctness.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
If you want to see the truth,
yeah. The truth is within yourself. But if I'm not mistaken, Kishot has a translation of beauty. Kishot, yeah. I don't know where the Gemara is. Kishot atzba, kishot means to beautify. Beautify yourself with words of Torah until you yourself behave in a beautiful way. It's an expression, a way of MS. Kishot, so that adorning.
So,
right, the way you beautify yourself is with MS. The great natural beauty is the ultimate beauty. To go smear layers of makeup and all these things, that's not the real deal. The real deal is natural beauty. Kishot atzmacha. The achar kach. Kishot acherim. So if I'm not mistaken, there's because it's very... I'm just asking a question, I don't have an answer. That it's a very bizarre thing for the pasuk. The kishot literally means MS. MS doesn't need packaging. The schoira sells itself. Sheker is what needs... What?
You just finished...
It ultimately will stand on its own. Sheker needs sheker. The Gemara says the only way you can package sheker is by injecting a little dosage of emes. If it's kula sheker, which you should know, to somehow defy this concept, because the propaganda, the whole idea of propaganda is the more outrageous the lie, the more people will believe it. Which is mamish k'neged Chazal. Chazal said that if you don't put a little mashu of MS into the sheker, no one's going to accept it. Hilly Machshmo was a genius on propaganda. I mean, that's what at least they taught us in high school, is that the greater the lie, the more people will believe it. But in any event, Kishot here has MS stands on its own. So why does the pasuk here in Mishlei need to say emphasize Kishot Imrei Emes, the truth of MS? They translate the veracity of MS. Why?
That's true. That
yes.
It does not need any packaging.
Yeah.
In world of sheker.
Okay, you need. All right. But
maybe it's just a repetition. Liyata
kishod. Yeah. So it's a poetic expression. Liyata kishod kama. Imrei emes.
No, the Odiacha goes in
Imrei
Emes as well.
The Odiacha
Kshot
and Imrei Emes. Repetition.
Yeah.
But why do we need the repetition? All right, possibly many interpretations. But if you want to translate the word Kshot as the beauty, then the Pasuk has a whole new meaning. L'Odiacha, to make it known to you, Kshot Imrei Emes. The beauty of words of truth. That's a different translation. Does the title of the Targum? What does the Targum say, the Kshot?
Kushta.
Kushta means MS. Yeah. Kumushta means MS. Okay, so I don't know. I just don't know. All I know is the piece of Gemara. Kishot atzvach of yachak shalachem. If I'm not mistaken, the way we translated in Yeshiva 100 years ago was beautify yourself and then you can beautify others. So it rings in my head that there's another translation and that would give a little embellishment to this pasuk. Okay, next, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Another popular pasuk. Let me just make sure I don't forget anything over here. One second. Okay, there is one of the medrash. I'm not a gematria man, but I'll mention this tanchuma to you. The word moetzos, The word Moetzos has the gematria of 606.
Which Moetzos?
The word in the previous pasuk, back in pasuk Chaf. Halei chasavti lecha shalishim. I've written noble words of nobility. Bim Moetzos vodas. Now, Moetzos is the gematria 606. So when it says, when it's the pasuk, so what are the seven? So what does it mean over here? I've written you shalishim. I've written to you Hosef al Masha Kfar Nitztav b'nei Noach on top of the seven.
And
so where are the 613? Where are the seven?
In the Torah.
But where is the seven in the pasuk? Where are the seven in the Torah?
No, you're saying it's 606.
That I gave you then. In addition to the seven, the sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach. But where in this pasuk does it say the seven that we're adding?
It doesn't. But the trigger is probably that it's chaser. That there should be another vav in the word, and since there isn't, then the gematria is darshan.
Okay, all right. So it's alluding to the fact that Hashem, by giving us the Torah, gave us an addition. Kosafti, the written Torah, was in addition to the seven that was orally given over to the world of the time of Noach. Something along that's what the Tanchuma says. The Tanchuma explains the significance of that pasuk.
Actually, a very common kind of
idea. That the Torah was an addition. But you see, this is in this.
More common than you do.
But this is in contradiction to many other Mamari Chazal that tell us that use the word Keser. Keser is 620, which takes 613, and then add the seven mitzvahs derabbanan, and some want to say.
Exactly, but this is really 609.
609 with the three letters, 608. So we have
Moatzos
without the days. Moatzos halakasavti l'cha b'moatzos v'odas. All right, but here we're using the number 606. All the mafarshim explain the same idea. The reason why we observe Klal Yisrael observes the sheva mitzvahs bnei Noach is not because of Noach. It's because they were re-given to us as a second edition. The second edition of these mitzvos, and they have a different set of rules. Pasuk Chav Beis, Al Tigzol Dol Kidalhu, V'Al Tidakei Oni Vashor. Pasuk says, do not steal from the poor, because he's poor. Now that's obvious. Why do we need the pasuk to say Kidalhu? So we'll see in one moment. And the second part of the pasuk says, V'Al Tidakei, Tidakei means to crush. Don't pulverize the ani, the gate, the poor man, bashar, which simply can mean in the store, in the market, in the gate, in the place where business is conducted. Don't take advantage. Don't torture the workers. Don't abuse them. They also have rights. Don't, like what goes on in the world. Of course, right? It's Dvaram Shutim. So that's why the poor have nothing to steal from. It's not so. That's not necessarily so. The poor have. They also have what to take. The difference is the poor have known that they can't afford security.
If I'm going to be a gun, if I might as well steal something valuable.
You might as well.
A doll has no value.
You might as well go to the bank. They ask the gun, why'd you rob the bank? That's where the money is. Okay, but the Mefarshim, we had this already. We had this 2 days ago. We had this before. They're an easy target. Poor people also have things that are valid. That's the assumption of the Gemara. There's an Evion. At Batonos, Zwick, he mentioned there's an Oni and there's an Evion. There's a Dal. There are many different words to describe poor people. Here we're discussing a person that does indeed have valuable things. He may not have enough to live on, but he has in his possession things of significance. And the difference between him and the rich man is he cannot afford security. He cannot afford people to guard to his things. So they're an easy target. And no one's going to come to their defense. If you rob from a person that's a well-known person, so he's going to have have the best lawyers, and he's going to have the police on your tail. Let's look at the mitzvahs pasuk chav beis al kidal hu ratzolaymar. This means to say, b'chosh v'cha. One may make the mistake and think kidal hu ve'ein lekel yado le'el yado power. He does not have any power la'amod l'mulach to stand to fight against you, opposite you. Don't do that. Don't think. Don't take advantage of his state that there's no one going, no one protecting him. No one will come to his defense. The al tidakei the al. Tichsas, he'oni to crush. Tichsas means tikoses, to crush. He'oni b'shar ha-mishpot, kasher yishpot imach. Mitzudas translates the word shar not to mean in the marketplace. Don't exploit the poor people in the market, but rather it means in court. When you come to court and you're sitting in din with an oni, this guy has no lawyer. This guy, the judge, can go hard on him. No one's going to come to his defense. Don't crush the poor when they come for mishpat. Don't ignore their din. Period. Rashi pasuk habei says, "Al tigzol dal, al tigzelenu." Do not steal from him. Ki sirenu dal. When you see that he is poor, bavur shehu dal ve'ein loy koyach lamoy negdecha. Don't take advantage. Don't take. Standing in the mitzvah says, "Don't take advantage of the fact that no one's going to come to his defense. No one's going to save him." Okay, this is the simple interpretation of the pasuk. Now, there are many midrashim. First thing I'll tell you, I didn't even actually see, I'm sure it's a chazal somewhere, but I'll tell you this within the story. And this story I heard from a rabbi who complained, and he was complaining what happened to him was similar to what happened to Rav Aaron Kotler. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Aaron Kotler, maybe it could be by other gedolim, but during the time of World War II, Rav Aaron Kotler went to Vat Hatzalah. He took a cab on Shabbos, well-known story, went from shul to shul, on a taxi on Shabbos, Michal Shabbos, to raise money to save people that were being killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in the Holocaust. And he made, in one shul, he made a very fiery appeal. And he was full of ruach. Not everyone in the story of Aaron Kotler said he was, it was, and slang was difficult, but people, they were very moved by his passion, his emotion. And the rabbi of this shul saw that people were inspired and were willing to give a lot of money to the Vat Hatzalah. And the rabbi was nervous because he knew that next Shabbos they were making an appeal for the shul, and his salary, the money of the appeal, would go to pay his salary or to pay something that was very important to the rabbi. And he felt that the people would give money to the Vat Hatzalah that would take away from what they would give the following week. So he got up and he said, "We want to thank the rabbi, Rabbi Kotler, for coming and telling us this important information and making the appeal. And I plead with you, my balabatim, everyone should contribute. Every penny counts." People had hasagas to give big bucks, dollars, not pennies. And when he said every penny counts, he lowered the expectation. You don't have to give $100. It's enough, you give 39 cents. And that way you'll have a lot of money left over next week when we make the real appeal. So he deflated. He lowered the expectation of what people should give. Go to an appeal. And if the opening bid is, we're making an appeal for Hatzalah. If the first person gives a donation, $18, so the next bid's going to be $17. But if the first bid is $10,000, so maybe the next bid will be $500. Okay, big difference between giving $18 and $500. So here is what, so the rabbi complained that the exact same thing, this happened, I remember this happened not so long ago, this person, he came and he made an appeal for like a Ber Hagola type of yeshiva, for Russian immigrants to teach them, and it was, the rabbi told me it was exactly the same story. The people, this person, the Rebbe came, the principal came, and he brought Talmidim with him, and he showed them the Talmidim, and he made a fiery speech, and he really got the people worked up. And then a person, one of the people who was in charge, who was also raising money for the shul, he got up, he followed up the appeal. I don't know what he said, but he said something very similar, and he lowered the expectation, the bar of what people should give, because the shul was making appeals for other things the same week as well. And this rabbi was very disturbed how he saw the poil, how the follow-up, the speech was so good. The Rebbe came with a full heart. He brought Talmidim for these Russian immigrants. And the people really were aroused. And the follow-up, the one who followed to close the appeal, ruined it. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. Al tigzol dal ki dalhu. Don't steal from the poor person the fact that he's poor. Over here, the pshat of the drush is that don't steal his money. His money, whatever he has, that's poshet. Don't go into his bank account, hack his bank account, and steal his money. That's poshet. But what does the ani have? The ani has the right to say, I'm poor. I'm poor, and I need money. I need help. I'm a poor person, and I make an appeal. Please give me money. By telling the people in the community, he's not poor. He's not poor. This guy, he's poor. He's a multimillionaire. He has millions of dollars stashed away in Swiss bank accounts. What are you giving him? $10. He's not poor. And it's a lie. It's an outrageous lie. The guy doesn't have a... The guy doesn't... The guy, the person... The person doesn't have a penny to his name. That's what it means. Al tigzol dal ki dalhu. Don't take away from the poor person the fact that he is poor, because that is what he uses as his parnasa, his means to collect money. Rav Aaron Kala, he told the community, he told the shul, the people are dying, they're poor. And someone comes along and says, oh, they're not so poor, don't worry, just give a few pennies, it'll be enough. That's the pshat, al tigzol dal ki dalhu. Okay, it's a very interesting interpretation. That's not really what it says. You're taking away the fact that they're poor. The only reason why they have a right to walk to make an appeal, they're eligible for welfare, is because they're poor. And you go to the government and you tell the government they're not really poor. They're not really poor. The guy has Swiss bank accounts. He's a multimillionaire. Oh, you're a rich man? You're not entitled. And now no one's going... No one's going to give money because you took away from them the title of poverty. I'm not entitled to collect. So what happens to them now? They're even in a worse position. Now they're poor and they don't even have a place to collect money from because no one wants to give them. Everyone thinks that they're rich people. So you've stolen from them the fact that they're poor, which would be at least the only thing that they have would entitle them to collect money from other people. Again, you can expand upon this in different examples that we have given. So this is what the drush of this pasuk is.
Rambam says in answer to what you said, particularly, is that he says it's worse Iser. In other words, we all know that it says lo sigzol. So
right.
Why do I have to stress over what Yitz said?
Yeah.
Why do I have to stress the poor person?
Yeah.
The punishment will be worse. Because you're taking advantage, because he's a dog.
Taking advantage, right.
Easier to do with him because you're more likely to
get easy target.
He's an easy target.
Easy target, right.
Will come down harder on you to do
okay,
it.
Okay, that's the Pashup shot.
Can't steal.
Right, that's the Pashup shot. That's what the Mitzudas and Rashi said. The Mitzudas and Rashi says, Al tigzol dal ki dalu, because he's an easy target. But here's a different drush. Don't steal from him, not his money. Don't steal the fact that he is a poor person. That's what entitles him to collect charity. You tell the Gabbai Tztaka he's not a poor person. No one should give him. You've stolen the fact that he's poor. Okay, now there are other midrash. Other midrashim say something similar. Al tigzol dal, don't steal from the poor because it's hard enough for him. The bizyonos that a poor person suffers is so disturbing, it's so painful, that compounds the isser. Have rachmanis on him just for the fact that he is poor. Let me read you the words of the Medrash. Let me see which Medrash I'm quoting from. The few who say the similar thing. This is from the Medrash Mishlei. Medrash Mishlei says, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Dayoy Dalusoy Shel Oni. It's enough, the suffering, the humiliation of the Oni, that he has to be poor. Dinhu de Omar Masla Mistiyo La'aika shavke. This means, like people say, there's a mashal. Dai l'mi shabatzara, hasher oisei rak bitzaroso, v'al toisif olav oitzara. A person, Nachman al-Etzlan, is in a matzav of etzara, don't make it more difficult for him. A regular person who's doing well, and he comes and asks for a favor, and he needs a solution. So listen, you gotta cut through all the red tape. There's a line, you gotta wait on line. There's a process. You want something, you want a favor, you come into the store and there's a long line, so wait on the line. It'll take you half an hour. But a poor person who comes into the store, he doesn't have what to eat, and he suffered already such humiliation to collect a few dollars to buy a piece of bread. He also now has to sit and suffer and wait on the line for half an hour. Do him the favor. Take him into the back. Let him come to the front of the line. It's enough. It's enough that he already is in the matziv of being dal. Don't add to that. That's how the Medrash interprets his pasuk. Al tigzol dal. Don't steal from the poor. Recognize he already suffers enough. Kidalu.
May hurt his feelings by putting it to front of him.
No, but you know what I mean. It means
yeah,
secretly.
Secretly.
It means in another situation. A person comes to ask a favor. So in a regular person, you have to go through the steps. But a person that you already know he's already been humiliated. It's enough. Don't add to it. All right, now there's another... Okay, this same idea is expressed in multiple midrashim, the same idea of it's daya litzara, it's enough what he has, and don't compound it. Now the next part of the drasha of al-tidake, do not crush the onibashar. So we translated the word tidake means to pulverize, to crush. When the poor man comes into court, the dayan should not take advantage of the poor. Oh, you're a poor man, I have a rich man, I want to show favor to the rich man because he's going to do me favors. So you know what? Too bad for you. That's a simple interpretation. Other mefarshim comment, especially the Medrash Mishlei, tidake means rachamim, just the opposite. Tidake comes from the word... tochois. Omar Rabbi Simoin, b'shas dinoi al tochois, don't show him compassion. Al tishtateif means do not join his bedako osoi vitsaroso, his suffering, and turn the judgment in his favor. Don't favor the poor, just completely opposite. And in fact, the Gemara says, Ein mirachamim badin. A judge is not allowed to show mercy in din, and they actually quote this pasuk of, Al tadake oni vashar, do not show mercy, do not identify with his suffering when he comes to a din Torah. Yeah, sure, certainly. But here, there are many things in Mishlei which parallel Pesukim in Torah. There are many concepts. Why is it necessary? I don't know. There's different connotations in the words, different interpretations. Now, the Pasuk of Gimel just goes to elaborate upon this idea. Ki Hashem Yodiv Rivam. If you go and you play around with the poor, you go and you're playing with
the
Kodesh Baruch Hu.
The Pesukim that came later? Or
it seems it does. It seems, according to what the article says, that it does. That all of these Pesukim are parts of Pesukim which came before, which are not from Shlomo HaMelech. This old bitl pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin told us Ushat Ozdoshma Divrei Chachamim. Now, where do the words Chacham begin? I think they begin with Pasuk Chaf. Pasuk Chaf says, or Pasuk Yutes, or maybe it's in Pasuk Yitches. Somewhere at some point in time, the words are being transferred to the words of other writers. Ki Hashem Yoriv Rivam, person that plays with the person he is, Hashem will take up their quarrel. Yoriv Rivam will fight their battle. The Kova es Koivehem Nofesh. And Hashem will steal. The word Kova means Gezel. Mitzudas quotes the pasuk in Malachi, Hayikva Adam Elokim, can a person rob from God? And that context, it clearly means to rob, to steal. Hashem will rob Eskoyvim, those who rob them, Nofesh, their own soul. Mida kineged mida. If you steal from a person, Hashem will steal from you. In other words, your property will be taken away from you, Shaloi Kedin. Of course, not that Hashem does anything Shaloi Kedin, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it appear that Shaloi Kedin, in order that you should feel the suffering of what you've done to someone else, and not only will the suffering be, it will be taken away, even to the nefesh, to the neshama. That when a person causes, steals from the poor, it's much more painful when a poor person is robbed. That's why it says in Parashat Karbanos, Parashat Mincha, by the Oni, it says, nefesh kisakrav mikem mincha. When a person brings a karban mincha, the Torah uses the word nefesh. When a person brings an animal, it says the word adam. The Chazal comment, why the difference between an animal and a mincha? Mi darko lohavi mincha, who is the one who brings the karban mincha? A poor person. When a poor person has to collect a few dollars $1 to offer a karban mincha, it's as if he's bringing his neshama. When a rich man brings an expensive animal, it's no big deal. It's like a nickel. It's a penny. What's the big deal? So there you have to hear the Torah use the word adam. So here it's the same thing. When a person or a poor man is robbed, he feels as if his neshama has been taken from him. The Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the aggressor, the gazlan, mida k'neged mida. HaKadosh Baruch Hu robs those who rob them by taking nothing less than the gazlan's own neshama nafesh. Okay, let's look at pasuk of Gimel in the Mitzudas. Ki Hashem ratz lemar ki im ein lekel el yadoi lodev rivo. Even though the poor man does not have any, going back to the parish, the simple interpretation that the poor man is an easy target and he does not have the power to protect himself. So Hashem says, even though he may not be able to protect him, I will come to his defense. Ki ratz lemar im ein lekel yadoi lodev rivo. Even though he does not have power to fight his own battle, hinei Hashem yadoi rivam mumin koyvehem, and from the people that rob them, yikva es hanefesh, Hashem will rob that gazlan's nefesh. Ki yomus, that robber will die, the yoivad nafsho, his nesham will be lost, mida k'neged mida, because by taking the poor person's money, he has indeed taken that poor person's neshama. Rashi, pasuk of Gimel, ki Hashem yorev rivam, v'kava, v'yigzol es hanefesh, and he will rob the neshama, koyveyem, goizleha. The word koyveyem is a word which means those who steal. Uvaloshan arami, kiviya gizela. This is an Aramaic word. B'mitsechta rosh hashana, asu gavru l'kamei l'kamei amalei, kavon polanya, you are a gazlan. So and so is a kavon. So we see that this is a borrowed word from Aramaic, koyveyem nofesh. Pasik chof, pasik, now the Medrash Mishlei comes a short comment on this pasuk. Why is there repetition in this pasuk? Ki Hashem yoriv rivam kama v'kava es koyveihem nafesh. The Medrash Mishlei says one refers to olam hazeh and olam haba. A person who robs the poor will suffer his fate in this world. Hashem will yoriv rivam. A person will suffer in this world for what he has done, and then when he dies, he's not finished. In the next world, we have the word nafesh. His neshama in the next world will be robbed from what he was entitled to, neither can I admit what he has done to the poor person. So we have the first part is olam hazeh, and the second part, according to the Medrash, is olam haba. Pasuk of Dalet, al tisra es baal of. Do not be friends. The word tisra means to be a friend with people who are angry. Stay away from those people. The es ish chemos, a repetition of the idea, chema. There's chema and there's af. Two different expressions of anger. Lo savo, don't go near. Seemingly af is an internal anger and chema is an external show of anger. So people that get angry underneath, you can see they're cringing and they're internally. So then you can talk to them because they're not going to explode and beat you up publicly. So you can talk to them, but just don't be their friends because it's not going to end well. But people that have a tendency to explode, to show external signs of anger, don't go near because you're just looking for trouble. Pasuk of Dalim Mitzudos, al tisra, al tischaber. Do not become friends. In Baal Af, the person who is an angry man, and don't travel on the same road with a Baal Chema, v'kofel hadava b'milo shonas. Rashi. Excellent, that's right. That's what they teach you in defensive driving, and they teach you in driver's ed is you're not the police. Someone does an avla, don't think you're a policeman. Just let it go. Let it go. You start fighting with people. Avim ch'ish chemos lo savo.
It was a shot in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Road rage. Yeah. Road rage. It's very...
The incident is very different. You went looking for him.
Okay, watch out. Al tisra. Rashi uses the Mitzvahs use the word the derech. Don't travel on the same day. Al tisra. Rashi. Let's see. Rashi. Pasuk of Dalet. Al tisra. Al tischaber. Loshon reus. Friendship. Don't show friendship. Okay. Let's see. In the Midrashim, I don't believe I have here anything. Okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasik you chafei pen telaf or choisav v'lokachta mokesh nafshecha. If you come near, you will learn. The word telaf is a beautiful word. Aleph, aloif bina. This word is used in so many forms. I once saw a beautiful poem every Aleph in Tanakh, in every form of Aleph. Aleph, there are many uses of the Sharish Aleph Lamed Peh, which simply means to teach, to learn, but it's expanded upon in many other contexts. And there's a poem which took all of the different uses of Aleph and put it into one paragraph. But here it says you will learn if you go and you join a Baal Af, and if you come near Baal Chema, you will pen Te'elaf or Choysov, you will learn from his ways, and by doing so, you will take for yourself a stumbling block. It's not going to end well. Mitzudas Pasuk of Hey, Pen Te'elaf, Pen Tilmodarko, Vitikach Bezem, Mekesh Lenafshecha, a stumbling block for your neshama. Notice that the stumbling is for the neshama. Getting angry is not good for one's neshama. Forget about it for one's guf. Kirashi pentelaf pentilmat. So Rashi says, pasik chaf vav al tibis soichei chaf ba'arvim masos. This already is a theme which Shlomo HaMelech is almost obsessed with. The theme of being a creditor, being a co-signer for a bad loan. He's obsessed with this. Already the fourth time we had this in Sefer Mishlei. Don't sign as a co-signer for a person that you know cannot pay back his loans. You're asking for trouble. They're going to come to you. You're not going to. Either you will have the money to pay. You won't have the money to pay, but you're going to resent it, and it's going to create machlokes for who and for what. Al tihi besoikikov, don't shake hands. Soikikov means to extend your hand to be a guarantor. But orvim masos for people who are masos means loans, burdens of loans. But orvim, and to be an orvim as serving as a co-signer, an orev, a co-signer for masos, people that have choivos.
Obligations
towards financial obligations. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Chav Vav. Besochei Chav B'Choyv B'Chevras Anashim HaTaykim Kav. Do not be among those part of a group of people HaTaykim Kav Zeh that shake their hand Bavur Zeh on behalf of someone else. Lios Orev B'Choyvoy B'Shibud Mekuyim for a specific obligation. The word B'Orvim, the Mitzvah goes on to translate B'Chevras Anashim HaNasim Arovim Al Hahalvos, become co-signers for loans, Chaval Hadav B'Miloshenos. And again, this idea is repeated so many times. Obviously, the only thing I saw in the article explains is that the repetition, every time Shlomo repeats an idea, which they have been repeated many times, but this really probably takes the cake, you have to study the entire perek. I don't have the koyach, I don't have the brains for this, but if you study the entire parak, you will discover that there's a different message being given in the context. Don't just learn every pasuk in isolation. Look at the pasuk in the big picture of the parak of the chapter, and you will discover a difference. You'll discover a different message, a different connotation in what it means, and that's why these ideas have been repeated multiple times. Okay, let's see what Rashi says. Al ti b'seichei chav ba'arvim masos halavois k'may masas meuma masas in dvarim. It means alone in any type of obligation, financial obligation. Now pasuk of Zion explains the consequences. Im ein l'chol l'shalem, what happens? He explains the problem. What happens if you don't have what to pay? Lama yikach mishkovcha mitachtecha. If you are the co-signer and the creditor comes to you and says you sign your name on the dotted line, you have to pay the other choif, and you say to him, sorry, the bank is, there's nothing there, I don't have any money. So what will the creditor say? Well, if that's the case, I'm going to take collateral. I'm going to take your bed. I'm going to take your pillow. I'm going to take all of your property, your furniture. He has the right to do so. And what are you going to say? But okay, you can take my bed, but there's a halach in the Torah. Im chovol sach, tachbol salmas reyecha, ad bo hashemesh tishivenu lo. When it comes nighttime, you better make sure you give it back to me at night. So you can take it during the day, but make sure at night you bring it back to me. He says, sorry, buddy. That pasuk only applies to the lender himself. The halacha that you're not allowed, you must return the you must return the pillow and the bed and the pajamas and the ksusim, the ksuslayla, all of those halachas only apply between the malda and the loyva. There's no such halacha when it comes to the orev. The orev loses the collateral and does not get it back even in the middle of the winter until he pays off the chayv. So it's a dead end. It's nothing to be gained.
Why is his chayv more than the loyva?
Because he had no obligation. Because he had no obligation to sign. He got nothing out of it. He got nothing out of it. The borrower, I need the money. I'm benefiting. You're doing a chesed. I need the money. I need the money. I'm a mishabek. I don't know. You have to go into the co-sign. The co, but a loyve, but a loyve needed. A loyve needed it. A loyve got something in return. I got the money.
Was the nice guy.
I got money in return. So therefore, my
goes unpunished.
My you can't hold me. You can't blame me. You can't blame me. I have. I needed the money. I got benefits. I got benefits. So now, when you, I don't pay you back. You have a right to go and take away my pillow because I got something out of it. I got something out of it, I have an obligation to. Let's put this aside. The basic idea is the co-signer had no obligation to get into this transaction. He had nothing to gain from this transaction. He's not the one that borrowed the money. He's not the one that had benefits. Why then did he obligate himself? Because he wants to give away his money. If you want to give away your money, it goes all the way. The responsibility is 100%. If you don't have what to pay, the creditor can take collateral and does not need to return the collateral. And that's what the pasuk here says. In ilcha l'shalim lo miyach mishkavcha, he will take your bed mitachtecha from beneath you. And guess what? Guess what? He's not bringing it back. The purpose of this pasuk is to tell you that if you were the lender, you were the borrower, you would get your bed back at night. During the day, you would not have your bed, and that would serve as a reminder. That would be very disturbing. The tircha every day to get it back and forth. It will be as a reminder to pay up your loans. But if you are the co-signer, you're not getting it back. And therefore, you have no one to blame but yourself. The mattresses. Okay, the Mitzudas makes a little lighter. It doesn't actually take away the bed, it takes away your mattresses. Rashi says, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Okay. Okay, now this is the Gemara Masech the Shavs. We had this before, but actually this pasuk is actually the real source for the halacha. If a person makes a neder, ba'avon nidarim, we don't know what this means, mesa isha shel adam. Okay, I don't know what this means, but the Gemara says, famous Gemara, a person makes false vows somehow that has an effect upon his wife, rachman l'son, a person's wife could die. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Mishlei. The Gemara is assuming that when it says, altahi b'seichi kaf ba'orvim masos, it interprets the pasuk loosely to refer to a vow. When you shake your hand through as being a co-signer, it doesn't just mean a co-signer, it means to obligate yourself in things that the Torah did not require of you. Just like a co-signer, no one asked you. Who asked you to be a co-signer? Are you deriving benefit? Are you getting the money? No. So what are you doing it for? I just want to be a nice guy. Okay, when a person makes a vow, did the Torah tell you that you're not allowed to eat this food? The Torah said you're allowed to eat it. Why are you more religious than what it says in the Torah? Who asked you for this? So the theme of being an Oirev Kablon is equivalent to making a vow. And the pasuk goes on to say, if you don't fulfill your vow, is an expression used in Chazal for a wife, for a bed, a wife mitachtecha, rachman litzlan, bavoin nidarim, bavoin nidarim, mesa isha shel adam. Pasuk. That's avoin nidar. That's a form of making an appeal. Bavoin nidar mesa isha shel adam. Now it's not possible for us to understand what that means. We have a principle: adam b'cheto yumas. One person is not responsible for another person. The only time you say responsibility is for maybe a child until the bar mitzvah, bachsha patarnim yoincha shel zeh. That's the only makar. But a husband and a wife, the sin of a husband should affect the wife. What that means, we don't know what it means. It's a gemara. The gemara says we have to be chayish. You have to take it seriously, but it's a very difficult hashkafic principle. Yeah.
Is it a story of the baby Shemabulos?
Yeah.
A guy had a wife, and he didn't get along with her.
So he bedafka made the daughter.
He rub, and he said, "I can't live with her. I want a divorce." And the rav said, you have an easy eitzah. Make a
neder.
A neder and
don't fulfill it.
And so he went home. He went. He made went to the shul. He made a neder. And he didn't pay.
Okay.
And he was happy, you know. Every time he saw his wife, he says, "How are you?" You know, because she was no longer burning. He knew she was going. And eventually, because of that, there was a relationship. She got sick, and he starts saying, "Wait, what am I going to do without my wife?" And he wrapped her around. He said, "What am I going to do?" He says,
"Avon edarim, you have to pay up your chaylois."
You have to pay up that.
So the rabbi was very clever.
It's a true story.
A rabbi story. The rabbi was very clever. Excellent.
I don't know how many others tried it.
Don't try this at home. Pasuk Chav Ches. Pasuk Chav Ches is a very famous pasuk. Al Taseg Gvul Oilam. Don't trespass. Hasogas Gvul. Don't remove. Hasoga means to return, like to return backwards. To turn, well, look at the Mitzvah Sion. Inyan Hachazor Le'achar. To go backwards. Don't push the boundary further back. I live next door, and I need some more space for my car. The driveway is not wide enough. So we'll push the boundary line. I'll push it back. I'll push the boundary line a little bit back. On the documents, no one's going to see. Anyway, we're making new concrete work. So he's not going to know the difference. You know, there was a line where the contractor puts the concrete, so they do it on the property line. Tell the contractor, you know, when you pour the concrete for the neighbor, you know, you can 1 foot over, it'll be okay. he'll never know the difference. That way he'll think it's all part of my driveway and he won't give me a hard time. That's what's the simple translation of tasek, to push back, to push further back. Masigvul means the person that trespasses. Masigvul means you expand your property by pushing the boundary further. So here it means al taseg gvul olam, the gvul that has been established from time immemorial, asher asu avosecha, which has been established by your forefathers. Now, what does this mean according to pshat? So let's first see the mitzvah. Pasuk Ches al taseg haderech lasoyis davar lesimen. The derech is to make a simen bein sadel stay or ishto sadel stay or eyu. A boundary. The boundary has been established by your forefathers. So the mitzvah does not add any drush. No drush, no musar, no homiletics. He just says, it's just a repetition what says in the Torah of what it says in the Torah of Al Tasik Gvul Re'acha.
You know, all these psukim between these two days,
yeah,
the base of the end,
yeah.
Rashi doesn't have anything.
Rashi.
Your Rashi usually goes into Avodah Zarah, Demoisha.
Yeah.
It's all plain. It's all din ben adam machaber.
So maybe it fits better with what we said, that these psukim are not from Shlomo, they're from a different author.
They're very simple. There are no.
I don't know. Rashi is very strange. A Mishlei. Mishlei, it's very.
These psukim. Doesn't say Hashem will do.
Well, some of them listen to this stuff. Some of them listen to this.
Be a nice guy. Don't rip off the other guy.
Okay, all right, okay. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi was Al Tasek Gvul Olam, Al Tasek Ochor Minag Avosech. So Rashi here does say, Rashi here says, the Yisod. Today there's a plethora of Svarim written on the topic of Minhoge Yisrael. This is a new industry. Years ago, there was only one sefer, Tameh HaMinhagim. It's an old sefer. Din halacha has always been popular. Halacha is halacha, but minhag. There are volumes. They go into the swarms, they have volumes. People published the minhagim of certain shtetlach.
The little Lelov.
The shtetlach, little shtetlach, you never even heard of. You never knew. A little teeny dot on the map. How many people even live there? And they write. The people there are relatives or descendants, and they have access, they have memories, and they have people still to talk to, or they have records, and they write books, svarim, describing the Seder Hayom through the entire year, the Minhagim. And it's fascinating. Some of the Minhagim we've never heard of before, we've never seen, some of them we've heard about, this and that. I just want to example the Spanish-Portuguese synagogue. There's no Chazaras Hashatz. By Musaf. on Shabbos when there's no chazar sashatz. So okay, you told that's the halacha or a din, the minog. Technically, you don't need a. There's no shtila. There's no silent shmona esrei. They only have chazar sashatz. The Rambam, the basic, talks about such a minog. This taka, such a minig, and he says it's shaloi kedin. You shouldn't do it. But there were people. This is their custom. In some of the in other countries, in other places, this is a custom. Today also, you have.
They told the Rambam.
This pasuk is the pasuk that tells you don't play around with minhagim. This is the gavul oilam. It's not gavul re'acha. It's the gavul oilam, the boundary of the world. The boundary of the world alludes to that in the world, at the big picture of the world, every place is different. It's not one size fits all. There's an oilam, and in the oilam, there are a lot of gavulos. There are a lot of countries. There are a lot of cities. There are a lot of locations. And every place has its own little boundary. And what kind of gvul are we talking about? Asher gavlu avoisecho, your forefathers. And the drush is the minhagim that have been established for various communities. Don't play around. When you go to a kosher community, you have to follow their minhagim. When in Rome, you do like the Romans. Literally. That's how it is in halacha. You come into a shul, this is what they do. You have to follow. Unfortunately, today, we live in America, so it's the big melting pot. Everyone is taken from each other. Everyone tries to do all the minhagim, none of the minhagim. You do other people's minhagim and other people where it's not meant to be done. It's we don't appreciate that minhagim are miyuchid for different mukaymos and different, and they're sometimes mutually exclusive. You can't do all various minhagim. Rashi again says, "Al tasig achar minog avosecha." Don't revoke, push back the custom of avosecha. The Amr Chazal hamniach chilkol tachas agefen v'shas betzira kedei sheyipol b'toychoy haperet al zed ne'amar. This is another idea. A person puts a basket. Okay, this is entirely for the person puts a basket underneath the vine. B'shas b'tzira, at the time of harvest. Kedei sheyipol b'soichei haperet. So that the peret means an individual grape. An individual grape shall fall into this basket. Al zeh ne'amar al taseg gvul taseg kmo yisog achar. So he's telling you another idea that you're stealing. You're denying the ani, the poor man, the ability to collect the peret. The ani has a right to walk into your field and collect the loose grapes, the loose clusters, the peret, and the oilolois, the undeveloped grapes.
Is it over here on the
shop? In Rashi. Rashi.
No, because what I wanted to say was the Malbim says it, that that's because you have in the next parak, you have prosecuted al tasik vul olam again.
Uh-huh.
That refers to that.
Uh-huh, the Malbim.
Now is what it means over there as opposed to...
Okay.
I'm just...
Okay, yeah, okay, it could be here. Rashi is quoting this, another...
You're Simon.
Rashi is saying that this is also called trespassing. Rashi is alluding to something, alluding to a different, a more of a halachic inyan.
Right.
That the gvul avosach means here the Torah. The Torah established that the poor man has a right. It is his property. The individual grapes that fall off the clusters are for the poor people. By you putting your basket and acquiring the peret as it falls, that prevents the poor man from having parnasa. It's a continuation of the previous psukim. The previous psukim talks about stealing from the poor. See, pasuk chav gimel in the pashup shat. To maybe Mayor, you're right. What you're saying over here is really connected to the pshat, because pasuk chav gimel talks about stealing. Pasuk chav beis al tigzol dol ki dalhu v'al tadake oni b'shar. These are all different examples of stealing. Ki hashem yiravivam the kavas kavim nefesh al tishal bal. Then talks about don't attach yourself to wicked people. And then we're going back and we're going back to poverty. Don't take away the food that was meant to go to the poor people. Okay, now Rashi does say over here a minhag, and min does allude to a minhag, and this is the pasuk of the minhag that have established by our predecessors may not be revoked. Minhag has the same letters as gehenim. And therefore, a person that plays with minhagim is playing with gehenim. Now, some say just the opposite, that there are some minhagim that are shtuyot, that are foolish minhagim, have absolutely no makar, and to give to give chashivas is gehenim. Yeah.
The minig am not to get married in the last half of the month.
Yeah.
He says that's
minig shtos. Minig am shtos.
The people made it up there.
We have that a lot of times in Gemara. Says, I know the people. He said, this is the minig in our town. He says, I know your town. There are a bunch of Amorats. It says that a few times.
What was that town? Brooklyn?
Okay. Now, the reason why, okay, the Tanchum elaborates upon this Rash that we quoted. Why does this pasal Taseh Gvul Oylam Asher Asu Avasech? Why do we refer this to the poor man and the rich man? The poor man, the rich man is denying the poor man from the peret by putting the basket there in advance to collect the little grapes that fall and should already be considered his property, so the ani has no right. Don't read the word Olam, but rather read it Gvul Olim. Make believe there is a yud in between the lamed and the mem. If you make instead of a komatz under the lamed, if we put a chiruk under the lamed, it means olim. Olim means social status. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the gvul olim. There are people that are on the top of the social ladder, and there are the people on the bottom of the social ladder. The poor man is on the bottom, the rich is on the top. Don't, and that means, if you're on the bottom, you have entitlements. Torah gave the poor people entitlements. What are they? Leket, Shikha, Peah. There are Matonos, Levyonim. There are poor people. When it says, Al-Taseg means, don't temporarily lower, confuse the social, the boundaries in this social ladder. There are olim, which means there are people that are on the bottom and there are people on the top. I today am going to make believe there's no bottom and there's no top. Because if you're on the bottom, you're entitled to leket shechan peah. I'm going to now do something which is going to deny the poor people from having peah, leket, or let's say leket, from having the grapes, by putting my basket there underneath the grapes, so I should collect it, which will deny the poor people. So what have I done? I've taken my status, my position on this ladder, and I've lowered it all the way down to the bottom. I'm entitled to the poor, to the peah, to leket, just like the poor. I'm denying what the poor people are entitled to. So that doesn't pay to be poor, chas v'shalom, but what it means is that's how the medrash, that's how the Tanchuma adds bayer into the words of Rashi. What is Rashi mean? Rashi saying, don't go deny from the poor the parrot. What does the parrot have to do with the pasuk Taseh Gvul Olam? The Tanchum explains. Because it says here, there's a Gvul Olam, Al Tikri Gvul Olam, El Gvul Olim. There are people on top, and there are poor people on the bottom. If you're on top, that means you're supposed to give. If you're on the bottom, it means you are entitled to take. If you're not going to give, and you're going to take instead, what have you done? You've taken the boundary between the top and the bottom, and you've confused it. You've removed the boundary. You've taken that boundary, and you push it all the way very down to the very, very bottom, which means I don't have to give, and I can take. You've broken up the boundaries on this social ladder. That's what the interpretation of the pasuk is according to the Tanhuma, how he learned Shad in the Rashi, in this Chazal. And again, the simple interpretation is Minhagim, and one of the classic examples it gives is the Zmanim of Tfilah. Okay, there's another medrash which alludes to the Gvul Olam. Who was the one that established Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I once heard this from Rabbi. Who did I hear this from? I don't remember. One of the rabbis on Tisha B'Av, he explained that, what are the Muslims? I don't know if this is true or not. They daven five times a day.
There are different menhagim in the Muslims. Some three, yeah, some
they
five.
They daven five times.
Five times. Why five times a day? So he says because they wanted to show up the Jewish people. The most that we daven is four times a day. We daven Musaf on Shabbos. Or in Kippur we have Ne'ilah. On Ne'ilah will be five. Okay, but that's only once a year. So Oh, you daven four times a day on your holidays. On your holidays? We're better than you. We'll do five. We'll show you up.
How many minutes do they daven each time?
I don't know that. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. But the point is, so maybe some will come along and say we should daven more. We'll show them up. We'll daven more. So Chazal come along and say, no one get any ideas. No one should come along and get an idea that we should establish new tefillahs. They apply this pasuk specifically in reference to tefillah. Because one of the ancient minhagim, which turned into halach, it's a minhag which turned into halach, is tefillah. We daven three times a day. Why do we daven three times a day? Torah doesn't tell us how many times we daven a day. The number of times that we daven has been established as a custom by the Avoy Secha. Who is Avoy Secha? The ultimate. Not the Chassam Sefer. Not the Lubav Shereba. Go back to the source. Asher Govlu Avoy Secha, which is also Avoy Secha, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shachris, Mincha, Mariv. Don't confuse the boundaries. Don't start saying, oh, I have an early Mincha and a late Mincha, an early Mariv, a late Mariv, we'll have more tefillahs. That is off limits. This is very specific what the Medrash Mishlei interprets this pasuk in reference to that minhag. And by extension, you can apply this to other minhagim as well. Okay, Belinda, to be continued.